Hello, Internet family. This is Anjanette Potter, also known as Adam's Rib, and you are listening to the Black Spinster podcast. So Black Spinster is basically for all aspects of singleness. I enjoy doing singles ministry. I think so many people like marriage. To me, in Christian circles, marriage and married people tend to kind of hog the narrative, and nobody ever really wants to talk about being single and having to navigate singleness and dating in the arena of Christianity. Singles are almost treated as though people tend to treat singleness like it's a curse, and it's not. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says that singleness is a blessing. That both singleness and married are blessed states. The only difference is in one you get to have sex and the other one you don't. Okay, because many born-again Christians, and born-again Christians are not the only major religion that teaches against sex outside of marriage. There are many other religions such as Islam, and I think Hindu might, but there's a lot of other major religions that don't believe in having sex outside of marriage. So that the people who keep on persecuting Christians, which, you know, like I said before, the whole point of feminism and equal rights for women is that we, you know, don't shame for, you know, either lifestyle. We don't shame women for fornicating. We don't shame, even though, you know, now if you're a Christian woman, we know that fornication is a sin. So we don't believe in sex outside of the bonds of legal marriage. So, but both are a blessing in the body of Christ. God is not discriminating against single people. God is not discriminating against single women, and He's not discriminating against single moms. So I'm going to continue. So this particular podcast or blog, it actually is its own separate blog. I have quite a few blogs under the Adam's Rib Media Ministry umbrella. And so I started off with Anjanette Speak and then morphed into other, expanded into other blogs because of my own personal interests. Number one, it kind of helps you to network with people who are of like interests. It also, you know, it helps with ministry because one of the things that Paul the Apostle talked about was being all things to all people. In other words, finding the common ground. Rather than discuss your differences, what do you have in common? He was a Roman citizen, so in Rome, he, you know, emphasized that he had in common with Roman citizens. He had the ability to elaborate on Jewish issues because he was also a Jew. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was an educated man, so he used all of his giftings to be able to evangelize the gospel. And it shows in his writings. If you ever get a chance to read the book of Hebrews and the breakdown of the tabernacle and the burning of incense, which was to represent the prayers of the saints, the sacrifices that were made, is, you know, the sin sacrifice, which Jesus Christ for us who accept Christ is our ultimate sin sacrifice. He is the propitiation for our sins. He is our substitute. You know, we believe in substitutionary salvation. So He is the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. We no longer have to go and yearly bring up rams, lambs, and turtle doves to the high priest to be sacrificed and burnt as an offering to our Heavenly Father. We now have the ability to lean on the sacrifice that was made through God the Son, who is Jesus Christ. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. So, you know, Isaiah 59 talks about God looking for an intercessor and could not find a man to stand in the gap. So he worked salvation out of his own arm. In other words, he sent himself down in the person of Jesus Christ in order to take human form and be tempted in all ways and sin not. So I never want to lose focus of the main purpose of my blogs, and that is for ministry, to reach people, to do the work of an evangelist. But you can do the work of the evangelist and have interest. You know, we're not of the world, but we still live in the world. So you have a lot of people who try to mess with you. And, other Christians will try to sabotage you because they have no understanding of, you know, the work that you're doing, you know, and you have others. It's just a mess. But when people don't have a right understanding of your gifting as a single person, and you can be gifted and still be believing for a spouse, it is okay to enjoy your singleness until you get married, even if you're a woman. You know, these denominations who don't want to let people be at peace. I'm really convinced that many of the problems that we are having in the world is because people don't respect other people's boundaries. You know, we have this weird type of xenophobia, and xenophobia is the person who lacks understanding. Like, you think your way is the only right way because it's all you've ever experienced. Okay, you've never, you know, at many churches anymore, there are a lot of churches that are really what we call Christian cults. The attitude of control, the attitude of not wanting to listen, thinking that your way is the right way, even if it's the wrong way. Okay, so, you know, you have people... For example, like I said about abstinence until marriage. So the abstinence movement has been around since, I would say, probably the 80s. It may even go back as far as the 70s. I'm not sure. I would have to do some research on that for you. But I'm finding out that there are born-again Christians who don't believe in abstinence. I'm like, how are you saying you're saved? How are you saying that you're a real Christian and you're still fornicating? And some of these people are pastors. Okay. Now, how are you going to be caught up in sexual sin and not believe that you can be used of the devil against somebody, and especially against women? Many of y'all have heard the whole thing with Donald Trump here recently, who was our president, which is scary. The one thing about our country that the one positive about America is we have the freedom to believe whatever we want to believe. Our religious beliefs are protected. The scary part is you can pretty much, I remember listening to Joyce Meyer years ago, and she talked about you can pretty much find a church that will support any way you want to live. That's the good part. That's also the bad part. Because nobody really is arriving, you know, we have laws to protect us. Like I said, you know, earlier, these denominations who want to protect men who are violent toward their wives. Okay, domestic violence is a crime. The laws of the land say that it is a crime. And there are people who don't believe it should be a crime. There are people who don't believe it should be a crime to rape your wife. There are some pastors that if it were left up to them, it wouldn't be a crime for them to force you to marry members of their church. And they think that doing that is protecting the men from sexual sin. Never mind, most of those churches have the highest rates of adultery. So I remember going to ministry school here where I live, one of the the forerunning churches in that area, and we were studying premarital counseling. And one of the things that they talked about, I had to make up a curriculum for premarital counseling. So my curriculum, I was, you know, I had it at, I think, 12 weeks, which was about three months. And we were meeting once a week for that whole time. I had certain types of couples that I wasn't going to do any premarital counseling, and I had to add to that forced marriages. I do not believe in premarital counseling for people who are being coerced into marriage at all. I'm not participating in no forced marriages. There were others like, you know, same-sex marriage, because I can't say what God has joined together. And clearly, all through the Bible, we're seeing that the Judeo-Christian concept of God does not support same-sex marriage. Now, once again, Christians are constantly being berated in that, but most major religions don't believe in homosexuality. And Africa at one point looked like they were going to outlaw it again, because I don't think they ever stopped outlawing it. Now, my thing with outlawing behavior is, how do you really think that you can successfully, especially since homosexuals kind of represent, are usually found in all aspects of society? And do you honestly think that because you outlaw it, that people are not going to do it? I mean, that was just my take on that. How can you, because as a born-again Christian, I believe that there are some things. I keep seeing people who are a part and very flamboyantly a part of the LGBTQIA community that are coming to Christ and are forsaking the lifestyle. So obviously evangelism is the number one way to go there. And not trying to pass laws. I mean, I understand voting your conscience, because you can't support a behavior that your religion does not support. But, you know, I'm like, how are you going to outlaw? I'm like, because there are gay Africans, okay, whether you want to believe it or not. And, you know, rape does not correct lesbianism. Okay, so you have people doing practices and they think it's curing. I'm like, where in the Bible do you see anybody using rape to cure anything? You don't see it. You don't see Jesus doing it. Jesus operated in the supernatural. Pretty much 90% of his ministry was casting out demons and casting things out of people. Okay, when you get mankind going according to their own stuff, you get all kinds of craziness. Okay, when people stop believing God, and that's kind of where I am with today's topic. So today I'm kind of tossing my hat in the ring on the whole Ebony K. Williams thing. And what I really want to talk about is what it means to be unequally yoked. I was accused at one point with someone that I liked of being unequally yoked. We weren't unequally yoked. Because spiritually we weren't unequally yoked. They were talking about being uneven as far as your income goes. And I always think it's interesting that if a woman is believing to marry a man that has more than she has financially, she's a gold digger, she's this, that, and the other, and all these other things. But some of the highest rates of survival sex that are being done in the Black community are being done by Black men. And in many cases, you have respectability politicking showing its ugly head too, because, and racism and classism, because only certain women are allowed to marry well. if you're darker than a paper bag, we don't want you to marry well. We don't want you to marry above your station, whatever that is. I never myself ever believed in levels or stations because I'm not classist. I believe you qualify for any man that likes you back and wants to marry you back. Okay, so I don't believe in disqualifying women from marriage, because the same people who are telling women that they don't qualify to be married are also, you know, are also not disqualifying men. Even though you have men up in church that have 50 side babies, aren't even into women. And still yet you have somebody trying to get you to marry them. I think they think that, you know, so back to talking about my curriculum, my outline. So my first homework assignment for my hypothetical couple was to each of them bring back, they had homework. And, you know, fun homework. I don't do nothing. I like to keep things fun and lighthearted because it makes you more likely to, number one, cooperate. But also, it helps expose different things that you helps you build a sense of teamwork because you're in it together. You know, this thing called marriage, you're in it together. So why, you know, constantly have all these battles? And the battles aren't because women are not submissive. I wish men would shut up with that nonsense. You know, lots of times you're not being cooperated because you are asking women to do some really stupid, ridiculous stuff. If your demands, if your requests of a woman are not in line biblically, don't expect any woman to follow you. I wouldn't follow you. There's men right now that I tell you, I ain't following that person. Some of these little pastors that y'all have up on pedestals, that y'all, you know, show up and shout them down, I would not enter the building. I wouldn't call across the street to hear these mugs preach. Okay? Like I said, I really honestly believe that a lot of women need to develop more standards, because some of these mugs could have 50 side babies and you would still go and hear them preach and throw all kind of foolish money up on that altar and throw all kind of foolish money into their little offering basket. Okay, you're making them rich and they're making you spiritually poor. I have never been a preach you happy and send you to hell kind of preacher, and I'm never going to be that person. Don't ask me to be. So today's topic is what it really means to be not unequally yoked. And, you know, it was going to be about being on the same page spiritually. But then I came across the content where Iyanla, bless her heart, was asking Ebony K. Williams about if she would marry a bus driver, if she would date a bus driver. Now, I kind of have a little bit of on the fence going on with this one, because I Googled and I'm going to include that information. They're rumored, her and Iyanla both rumored net worth. So first of all, let me go into scripture, because I like to get us spiritually centered first before I go into everything else. So in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18, this is Paul's epistle to the Corinthian church. In fact, it's his second. So an epistle is a letter. And he's writing to the Corinthian church. That he helped start, because what apostles do is they go into a land as God directs them. They set up a church and then they appoint a pastor over that church. And then, you know, like a good father, because apostles are considered to be fathers of the church, they keep in touch with that fellowship and see how they're getting along. And, you know, and the main thing is to see how they're getting along spiritually. How are they growing? You keep in touch with the pastor to see how things are going. So the scripture says, be not unequally bound together with unbelievers. Do not make mismatched alliances with them, inconsistent with your faith. Are they where you are spiritually is the number one thing. For what partnership have righteousness with lawlessness? And what fellowship can light have with darkness? And what harmony can there be between Christ and Belial, Satan? For what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? And what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So come out from among unbelievers and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will graciously receive you and welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So that is what the actual verse says. So when you hear somebody misuse the verse to talk about anything other than what it says, and one of the things we were taught was, to be cautioned about going into business with unbelievers. Now, it is not a staunch rule. I mean, if you feel led of the Holy Spirit, sometimes the Holy Spirit will use your union with an unbeliever to win an unbeliever to Christ. I have had that be my experience numerous times. God has used me to lead a non-believer to him. He knows their hearts. And many times we don't listen to God. We listen to the arm of the flesh. You have to get into listening to the spirit and being led and guided of the spirit. You have to be led and guided of the spirit more often, and many times what you have is counterfeit spirits, because there are people in the church right now as I'm speaking that are practicing witchcraft. You have people that are walking in other spirits and all of that other stuff. One of the ways you know if something, if it's God, is if it lines up scripturally. Even if you don't understand it in your natural mind, you ought to be able to, first of all, ask God, is this you? But also, it ought to line up scripturally. God is never going to tell you to go out here and prostitute yourself to get money to take to your church. Not going to do it. The Holy Spirit is never going to lead you into sin. God is not going to tell you to go out here and rob a bank. Okay? God is not telling people to blow up buildings and put people's lives at risk. Thou shalt not murder is still in there. So when someone, I don't care if it is a pastor, I really have a problem with men who seem to think that they need to be more important than God in a woman's life. If you are not leading a woman in a godly manner, you do not deserve to be followed. I will say that, and I will say that to you guys' faces. Because I don't care. I ain't scared of none of these men. So, my question, I kind of commented on the post that where I saw the content. So there seems to be a thing with black women where you have people constantly asking us to make compromises that they would never ask any other female group to do. We're constantly being asked to lower our standards even when they're not unreasonable. So the question was asked of Ebony K. Williams, would you date a bus driver? She said if he owned the company. Now, at first, my working class sensibilities got up because I was like, well, since when is dating a bus driver the bottom of the barrel? Okay, because, and I was like, bus drivers actually make pretty decent money depending on what your level of income is. So, to look into here, the average bus driver makes about, I think the last time I looked, like they were like $21 an hour or something like that, which actually is not incredibly bad depending on. So this information is on a website called Onet Online. So it's Ohio based, it's here in Ohio, but they have pretty good standards for, we used to use them when I worked for this one agency to help fill out our resumes. You know, we were making our resumes and we are recording our work experience. They were actually a good source to describe what it is you did for each company that you worked for. And so I, you know, when I have good information, I tend to keep in touch. So I kept in touch. So the average median wage of a bus driver is $23.37 hourly, which puts them at the mid part of the five digit income level. So they're about what we would call, would that be just within kissing distance of, well, actually about middle class. So let's look at what middle class would be. I've always been income range. So the middle income range, I was about right. They're about kissing. They're actually right in the lower portion of what we would call middle income. And this was as of 2018. The upper, you know, part of that would be $145,000. So that's six figures. This is courtesy of Pew Research. If you really want to go down the rabbit hole and look up different things just for shits and giggles, Onet Online is a good place to look. So is Pew Research. I used to use both of them when I would do my research papers in undergrad. So in 2019, the national middle income range was $48,500 at the low end, and $145,500 at the high end. So that kind of puts our bus driver, who old girl said she wasn't gonna date, so he's just above, let's see, $48,620. Okay, so he's about just above the lower end of what we would consider to be middle income. So, you know, and so I said, well, I'm like, when did that become the bottom of the barrel? Like, you know, it's funny how we term certain professions, and many times those professions make more money than some of the people who, you know, look down at them. And I don't think she was really looking down her nose. She was saying what was right for her. So when it comes to Black women, it seems like we have a tendency to want Black women to lower their standards to, like, darn near inviting the homeless to move in with them in order to have a man, which I think is crazy. I really do. Well, men, women, women think, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, let me say this. I have been at many different income levels. For real. I have been at many different income levels. And still, you know, most of the time when I was believing for a man, it really didn't have anything to do with his income. It had everything to do with their character. And I have a problem with people who want women to be all these different things. But, you know, like I said, and black women get called materialistic for wanting the basics of what most women want when we're talking about the type of lifestyle we want. You know, it's very racist. You know, black women want to live in a decent area that's clean, that has regular maintenance, ain't got glass all over the place, ain't hearing sirens every hour on the hour. Yeah, I've lived in some pretty rough neighborhoods. Not hearing sirens all over the place, well manicured lawns, you know, not having to deal with some of the God forbid that a black woman would want to live nice, and God forbid if a black woman is able to provide that for herself, you know, and there are many reasons for that. What black women aren't just providing for themselves because, oh, they can't get a man to provide it for them. Many of them have jobs that pay them very well, or they're in professions that pay them very well, that allow them to be able to live good. And there's nothing wrong with that. So let me give you Ebony K. Williams, and hopefully a sister doesn't think I'm trying to invade her privacy. So her estimated net worth, Miss Williams earned most of her wealth from working as an attorney, as well as being the co-host in several shows. Her salary was not revealed to the public, but she probably made about $100,000 per month as a TV host. Therefore, she has an estimated net worth of about $2.5 million. Now, let's talk about Yodla. Because also, you know, did, you know, my little thing. Now, this is their rumored net worth. I don't know. So, Yodla's rumored net worth is $5 million. Okay, so most of us know that, you know, she's done a lot of hosting gigs with the OWN Network. She also has her own YouTube channel, which I subscribe to. She also has written many books. As a matter of fact, she started off writing many books. She also has written editorials for Essence Magazine. So yeah, go back real far with Iyanla. So, and the funny thing is when we heard Iyanla also said that our hypothetical bus driver would have to sign a prenuptial agreement to be her man. And I'm like, I guess so, since you've been married and divorced three times. Okay. And I don't know what the outcome of those marriages were, but she is now, I guess, now single and not dating. And one thing, you know, so if Ebony K. Williams is worth $2.5 million, then everybody went after her because, you know, they found pictures of her with an ex-fiance, and that ex-fiance was white. Now, that kind of does a number on me, too, because of the current black women divesting thing. Okay, if you want to divest, you know, if you feel like dating out works for you, you know, I'm not worried about that. The part that worries me is because they're starting to sound like the black male commentators that are anti-black women. I belong to the crowd that gets a little worried when there's a lot of divisiveness being worked within my community. I am, for those of you who don't know and haven't seen a picture of me, I am black. And so I get a little worried when black men and black women are being pitted against each other. I get, you know, kind of messes with me a little bit. I already have a policy with my content as a online ministry. I do not follow black male content creators who advise who badmouth black women. I do not follow black male content creators that not only badmouth black women but also advise against dating us. If you feel like we are the bottom of the barrel, marriage and dating and mating wise, I'm not following you. If you come after single moms, I'm not going to follow you. Okay? You are doing the work of the devil. Single moms deserve to find it. I'm like, if any, you know, I never understand the wisdom of coming after single moms because single moms have children. I would think that you would want a single mom to be in a safe, stable relationship because she is currently raising another generation of people. And what they are exposed to is going to affect what they are exposed to in their home is going to affect what is going to have an effect on what type of people they turn out to be. So supporting teachings that put single moms in a very dangerous or traffic single moms, which I never understood the logic behind that. Okay, you are so in love with men getting their way sexually that you are endangering the next generation. You don't deserve to be a pastor and you deserve to sit down and stay out of ministry. When I was first doing the single moms in a church that I was in, one of the first teachings that I taught about was God's provision. God making a way. We love to talk about how God makes a way out of no way. And he does, and I have experienced it and had that to happen. And there's two stories in the Bible, and they're Old Testament at that. One is the widow of Zarephath, and there's the other widow. So one widow was advised to go grab a bunch of jars, pour oil into them, and she sold them, and she had enough to pay for her debts. The other widow made cakes and fed the prophet and made sure he ate. And as long as she was feeding the prophet, her and her son were eating. So these were miraculous ways of God making a way. At one point, they were talking about making a Bible, you know, without all the miracles. And I was like, it would not be a very big Bible because about 90% of the Bible is miraculous divine intervention in the affairs of mankind, which I think is so neat. I think is so cool. That we have a God that cares so much about us that he will interfere in our affairs and wants us to do well. His word says that he is our provider. One of his names is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. So he has the ability. The word of God says that, you know, I think the sparrows, none is more better arrayed than they are. You don't see the animals worrying about, you know, each day how they're going to make it, but yet they're still provided for. And so many times people want to put their own spin on God, what God's provision is. God's provision is not going and doing sex work. Okay, so male chauvinist demons will find any kind of way to insert men in there and then start sexually harassing women. I was listening to the whole thing with the whole Donald Trump thing. It's a day of reckoning, as far as I'm concerned, for the segment that Donald Trump represents. The old guard that was used to, that felt like their money bought them out of trouble. You heard, you know, if you were to hear the infamous tape with him and Billy Bush, who I also am not a big fan of, talking about, because I'm wealthy and a celebrity, I can basically sexually assault women and nothing will happen to me. So now that day of reckoning is here for those who have had that mentality. Okay, those 80-some-year-old, old as hell, rich white men who, you know, because of hypergamy, have always had the power to buy themselves out of a bunch of trouble and leave a bunch of broken, tattered women and leave a bunch of broken, tattered, traumatized women to deal with the fallout from their actions. So, you know, I have one content creator that talks about the black male reckoning. I mean, I think it's the male reckoning. I think Me Too is all of them doors that men opened because of abusing their power and privilege over women, and now all of the chickens, and now, like Malcolm X has said, the proverbial chickens have come home to roost. No, Mr. Trump, it is not a witch hunt. You have done so much dirt to so many women that you don't even remember the women that you did it to. Yeah, I believe it's possible for a man to traumatize a woman and not remember what she looked like, especially if he's traumatized many women. Because many women have come forward about this man and his annoying ass, and the annoyance that he has been in their lives. If you're wealthy, your money does not buy you the ability to take advantage of women sexually or any other way. And I find it interesting, like I said, with the Ebony K. Williams thing. For one thing, I tend to be case sensitive. So I just asked the question, well, what is wrong with being a bus driver? Bus drivers make pretty good money. And if you're here in the city of Columbus, Ohio, we have many good looking bus drivers driving for us. So whether or not you feel like they're on your level depends on where you are. Now, if I'm worth $2.5 million, then yeah, I might think the same way. You know, they would have to be pretty impressive, you know. And let's face it, are you really moving in those same circles? Are you really moving in the same circles for you to run across a bus driver and want to take them out and want to date them? Okay, the funny thing is, many men, especially black men, let a black woman say she wants a man that's gainfully employed. I remember at one point, I'm like, I want somebody who stays employed. Now, I've had my issues with employment, and most of them have been pretty much outside, you know, situations outside of my control. But I'm talking about, you know, somebody that can stay, you know, because and much of it because of how I was raised. I have uncles and a father, and most of those men stayed employed and thought of their family and made sure their family had what they needed. So, you know, to me, real love does pay the bills. I don't come from a background where love don't pay the bills. If love ain't paying the bills, are you really in love? If they're not making sure that their household is taken care of, even the Word of God talks about how can you be in a leadership position in the church and you can't manage your own family? And many men, you know, keep wanting to tout being spiritual leaders, but women constantly have to lead you and constantly have to go first. How are you a leader and women have to always lead you? If I could meet a man and meet as a single woman out here, meeting a man that you feel comfortable following, that isn't treating you like a sexual toy, that isn't treating you like a sexual lab rat, when I say sexual lab rat, in other words, he's constantly experimenting and constantly trying to see what he can talk you into doing or what he can manipulate you into doing instead of just building an honest, healthy relationship with you. And let me say this much, you know, acting really, really good to, I've said this often, if you are, let's say there's a group of 100 women and you're really courteous and you're, you know, the best guy in the world toward 99 of them, but there's one of them that you are tormenting and abusing, you are still an abuser. It doesn't matter if you're nice to the other 99. If you go out here and you rob a bank, the other banks can't co-sign for you and say, well, they're always nice when they come in our establishment. Maybe it was what you were wearing. What did you do? What displays did you have up? You don't get to do that because guess what? As far as the law is concerned, if you rob one bank, if you rob 10 banks, you're still a bank robber. You're still going to go to jail. You're still going to be on trial. But we don't treat sexual offenses that way. We really don't, even though sex crimes are real crimes. I did a vlog on that one point. I did a vlog on talking about how come wallets get more love than women do. And I talked about that. And so, you know, like I said, the whole Ebony K. Williams thing, I just kind of feel like we tend to think that black women are not supposed to have standards, that they're not supposed to want a safe place to live. Even to the point of sabotaging them professionally when it looks like they're on the rise. So it's like nobody even wants to see you do it for yourself, much less have a man that has the ability to do it for you. We tend to have this thing with black women of wanting them to constantly be rehabilitation centers for badly raised men. And I think it sucks, to be perfectly honest with you. This is going to be part of me talking about spiritual abuse because I'm still talking about it. So my lives here lately, I've been talking about my live for this Friday, I'll be talking about spiritual abuse, and I think, you know, that's going to be a reoccurring theme even across my podcast, because there are some, you know, there's ways to be abusive. We know that you can, not all abuse is about physical or leaving bruises. Some abuse is spiritual, some abuse is psychological, some is emotional, some is verbal. There are many ways to abuse, and there's financial. Trying to keep a group of women broke and poor and dependent on men who can barely provide for themselves, much less a family, okay, is also abuse. You know, acting as though you have a problem with black women prosper and not wanting to see us prosper and wanting to tear us down instead of coming up to the level. You know, like I said before, you keep having all these men talk about submit and all this other stuff. But, okay, where are you leading? You know, women are not spiritual lab. Women are not sexual lab rats. Okay, if you ain't ready to be married to anybody, then you need to leave us alone. Leave women alone that are on the rise. Leave women alone that have goals. If you are not in that space yet, don't bother approaching those women. And definitely don't DM me. And I'm not a divester. I don't even want white guys. I don't even want white guys DMing me that aren't right. If you ain't right in the head, don't contact me. Okay? I'm going to tell a little story about something that I published a book. And I was putting my book on different forums, you know, to advertise or whatever. And so for you divesters who keep swearing up and down, white men are the answer. This white guy approached me and was like, oh, you just want attention. I finally had to say, either buy a book or F off. Oh, but you're a minister. You said you dropped the F bomb. That some demons, that's all they understand. And so I told him, I'm like, are you interested in buying a book or not? Can I DM you later? I said no, and I blocked him. Okay. No, I'm not going to entertain you. Like I said, if you ain't for the right thing, don't DM me. And leave the rest of these women alone too. If you are not ready to stand up, if you're not ready to be a stand-up man, leave women alone. Okay, I'm not the least bit, because I don't follow everybody. And there are a couple pastors that can tell you I don't follow everybody. If you ain't for the right thing, don't even get in my face. Because I will sincerely hurt your feelings if you approach me and you ain't right. And that goes for no matter what color you are. I'm not a prostitute, so don't come around here trying to treat me like one. Okay? And I feel the same way about every woman, like other women. I feel the same way about women who I minister to. Like if you know, I get to the place that I have spiritual daughters and whatever, you can't approach my sisters with that mess. Okay? Like I get, you know, that's the one thing I get sick and tired of. But there's also the attitude, when did bus drivers become the bottom of the barrel? When did making a good old-fashioned, honest living become something that someone should make fun of or shame you for? The things that people shame you for reveal, the things that people shame you about reveals their character. It really does. And I don't think her intent was to shame bus drivers. You know, I think her intent was to say, you know, because of the, you know, I've worked hard, I've built my brand, and I really want somebody that respects that. So I don't think she meant any harm by saying, yeah, if he owned the company. Okay, she didn't mean any harm. I can't tell you the number of times, even at working class level, that I've seen women move guys into their apartment that he's not marrying you, doesn't have a job, relying on you for everything he got, and these guys literally ruin these women's credit, ruin these women's lives, abuse their children. And like, you know, men who are not at your level are their own worst advertisement. You know what I'm saying? So I have watched, and the women that I have watched do it have been all colors, but it's been primarily black. You know, because of loneliness, because of desperation, because of feeling like you're nothing without a man, or feeling like, you know, if you don't want to ask for too much, being programmed by past abuse, past trauma, into believing that you're not worthy to have better than what a man is offering you, even if he ain't offering nothing but digging bubble gum and misery. Okay, so really we know the reasons why, but I can't tell you the number. So I don't hate on nobody like Ebony K. Williams for having standards and saying, you know what, I really don't want to have to fool with that. At least it's honest. Many of us pretend that we're okay with certain things in a relationship just to have a relationship, and ultimately to have a relationship that winds up ruining us in the end. So it's really not a good thing. And, you know, it's something to think about. So I am going on to the next topic. The next topic I'm going to talk about, this whole Queen Cleopatra thing, because I find it a little interesting too. So I'm going to go ahead and be off here. You guys enjoy your day, and I will talk to you later.
Hello, you have reached the message line for Adam's Rib Media Ministry. If you would like to give me a shout out, recommend some topics for discussion, or give an opinion about a topic I've already discussed, either on my blogs or here on my podcast, leave a message and I will get back to you as soon as possible. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.